Second Thessalonians chapter 2. All right. And brothers, we beg you, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and of our gathering together to Him, for you have not to be quickly shaken in mind, nor to be troubled, neither through a spirit, nor through speech, nor through letter, as through us, as if the day of the Lord has come. The day of the Lord is not yet here. The day of the Lord has not yet come. So, the day of the Lord is unlike anything you've ever seen before. It's a day of vengeance. It's a day of vengeance. But it's not on you. It's not on you. So the day of vengeance is the day that God reads the minds of people. He is the one that knoweth you better than you know yourself. He knows every thought, word, deed, everything about you. And He has chosen to come back on this day of the Lord, which is still in time, still in the time, still not the millennium. It's still not the millennium. That's the day of the Lord. It's still in time. And it's after that, there's no more time. There's no more time. So I want to take this whole year and explain to you, I think in a unique way. I know that you've never heard before. And because of that, because I think now is the time, close to the time, not yet the time, when God is going to reveal Himself in a way that He has not revealed Himself before. And so during the time right now, before the 1260 days, Antichrist, blah, blah, before all that, there's coming a time when Jesus will come back for His bride. This is the second time. The first time was 3.5 years, 42 months. So this time that Jesus spent on the earth began with John the Baptist. That was 583 years from the going forth of that tribulation, of that that big thing that God had in mind, when Jesus would end up dead. He would end up dead. And that is in the midweek. This is found in Daniel and the fifth chapter, or ninth chapter, verse 17. Whatever. And so this whole period is all the way from the Tower of Babel. From the Tower of Babel. That is 1400 something years. And during that time, Babel has never departed from world, the community of the world. So Babel is always, 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 always accompanied by turmoil. Have you seen any turmoil lately? So everything is accompanied by that. And the fact that Black Lives Matter and all these kind of things, this is not unusual. This is normal for the time it is. And so, therefore, before the end times come, before the last days come, before the millennium, which is the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is that day in which you will see things that you've never seen before. As a matter of fact, you won't even be here. I mean, I just thought I'd throw that in, that you will not be here. But when that time comes, you will be caught up in the air. It says that in Scripture. When we're caught up in the air, then we're able to, God in heaven, you on earth, in the mid-heavens, or in the heavens that are just above the earth, and then the world that we look down on from the mid-heavens, being all born again, everyone born again, everyone, first fruits of them that rose from the dead. Jesus was the first fruits. He's the first fruits, and we're the first fruits of his first fruits. We're the first fruits of Jesus' first fruits. I don't believe that up until now, sometime now, you could have guessed how the end time would come out. And God always, this is the way it seems to me, he always surprises you at the last minute by sharing things that you thought you knew, but you didn't know. You thought that we would be here on the earth when Jesus returned. You thought you knew, and all kinds of things, that if you mix up the times, if you get all the times all messed up, you're going to then miss out what is going on for you. And for you, it's going to be a time of refuge. It's going to be a time of freedom. It's going to be a time of utter joy when you're with the Lord and his bride, the Lord and his bride, the Lord and his bride. So Father in heaven, Lord and his bride, in the lowest heavens, somewhere in the lowest heavens, very close to earth. And then we will be ruling over, this is scripture, the 12 tribes of Israel. Not the ones that are born again, not the ones that have received Yeshua as their HaMashiach, but those that actually are on the earth and will be ruling over them in Jerusalem, and they will be ruling over the Gentiles that are beneath them. And the world will be restored to the absolutely the present action that God had made when he created man in the first place, that everybody would be subject to God, and then Jesus and his bride, which wasn't there at that time, but which is there now, and then that Jesus would then rule over the 12 tribes of Israel, which then would then rule over the Gentile tribes. I say that you haven't heard these things before because it's, you can read a lot in the Old Testament. The Old Testament is actually loaded more with scriptures than the New Testament is about the end times. I'm going to say it again. The Old Testament is actually, you know, you can Isaiah, you know, Ezekiel, etc., etc. All these scriptures are all referring to the millennium, that thing that we said, don't think it's now. It's not now. It's later. But when that time comes, you'll know it because it'll have all the earmarks of such a troubled time as this. For example, we're on earth today having a good time. Christians are having a good time. But I'm not talking about lukewarm Christians. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about those that are fervently in love with the Lord and just need to know what's ahead, what is coming. So what God originally intended when he created the world was not what happened. What happened was deviation, derogation. That which was in God's mind, and that now will be something that you see suddenly restored. That's when the day of the Lord comes. in the day of the Lord, you'll be separated from the earth. You'll not be here. And so when the Lord comes back again, you'll be with the Lord and you'll be there 1,000 years. You'll be there 1,000 years. And that's to indict the other 6,000 years as being not in line with the purposes of God. Now, I'm jumping way ahead because it's time. I'm jumping way ahead because I believe that God is revealing all these things which wouldn't have made sense a few months ago. Wouldn't have made sense a few months ago. But now that God has hastened his coming, he is interested in his coming again to meet his bride. That's after the 1260 days. That's after all of that. And that's ahead of us. That, by the way, you have to look at 1260 days when you are on the earth. Right now, you're on the earth. And you're going to remain that way at least another 1260 days, if not more. And so you need to know what's going on. This is not the way God invented it. It's not the way he created it. It's not the way he intended it. This is totally different. How many know that this world is not going exactly the way we had in mind? I mean, no, this is not it. So God has in mind, and I could be all the way from the beginning, all the way to the end, easily. So this whole scenario from the beginning until the end, there's only two kingdoms that are at war. Only two kingdoms. The Tower of Babel, and everything else is exactly as Jesus intended it. So Jesus intended for the wicked to do their wickedness, and for you to bear with it. And the reason for this is because God has in mind, wait a while. Don't react quickly. Don't be troubled. Don't be nervous. You're fine. So everybody have that? You're fine. You're not going anywhere. It's not going to be something surprising. But because of that, these two kingdoms, you're the latter kingdom which Jesus is building. That's related to the Tower of Babel, which has never been finished. It's on your dollar bill. It's on your dollar bill. It's right there that the tower of this Babel Tower looking ziggurat or, you know, pyramid or whatever, pagoda, whatever, is that man has exalted himself above God. Man has always done that. He's always exalted himself above God, and we'll read in a little bit how this feature of man always wanting to play God. Everybody. So everybody wants to be selfish. Everybody wants to be self-interested. So even though you know about Jesus, doesn't mean you are a Christian in truth. It does not mean that. It can mean it, and I hope everybody here is a Christian. But in many places, the legitimate church, that is the church that recognized by this world, is not exactly what God had in mind. It's lukewarm. It's lukewarm. And so since it's lukewarm, and that's the last of the last seven ages, 2,000 years, the last seven ages that we've ever since Jesus died and then disappeared, he's gone forever, he's upstairs, and now he's coming back for the second time he comes back, just before that which withholdeth is suddenly released. I'll explain that in a minute. But suddenly, something that's withholding the plug into the wall, you know, it's just about to be plugged into the wall, something withholds it, and that's the natural law. The natural law is that law by which you were created, when you were created, with God at your, not your birth, but at your, the moment that you were conceived. The moment you were conceived, God wrote his letter, wrote his law, wrote his governance, his purpose, whatever, and it totally goes against you. So, the totally, you know, everything that God has wanted for you, you're not naturally, you know, you're not actually able to do it. You can't do it. You know, things happen in this life which you rebel against. The rebel was Nimrod. That was the guy that invented the Tower of Babel. He's able to say, let's build the world without God. Let's go ahead and create a world with religion in it, and morals and everything, all the stuff that's part of this world, but just let's eliminate God. Clever idea. It's a clever idea. You know, it's just let's do it without God. And God doesn't like that. God wants you to be totally committed to him. And the proof is that everything that he has said for you to do in the Old Testament, under law, everything he said to do, you don't want to do it. Can anyone say amen? Okay, so everything that you're naturally inclined to do, his law goes against it. So that's the whole deal right there, is you will not want to do what God wants you to do. You have to do some trick to yourself. You have to do something to say, well, I really want to do it, but I don't really want to do it. But and you have to be insane. You have to be insane. So anybody that says, oh, I'm a Christian, it's all working out great, that's a lie. That's a lie. So God has rigged it up so that when you obey God, you are actually going against your natural. The first thing that ever is affected is not your emotions. It's not the mind. It's totally your will. Your will. This is not Greek thinking. This is not Greek thinking. In Greek thinking, the mind is nous. The mind is that which is governing the whole human enterprise. Nonsense. Mind, all that mind can do is justify what I always wanted to do. I'm going to say that again. All that mind can do is justify what I always wanted to do. So your mind is not as clever and as clear and as awesome. The thing that makes you guilty is when you want something, you're sinning. Your emotions don't do that. Your emotions always has an explanation for it. And your mind doesn't have anything. Mind is pointless. You're just simply vindicating what you wanted to do in the first place. Can anyone say amen?
Amen.
Okay, so I don't know if I have all of you, but I have some of you. So this whole idea of man running his own life, or, you know, trying to ruin it, if you put the I in there, if you want to ruin it, is to disobey God and not do anything that's right. And all of Christianity is doing what God wants all the time. Now, that doesn't mean you do it. It just means you're committed to it. It doesn't mean you do it. It indicates that you want to do it. And I want to obey God, and I'm committed to that. And once you do that, you have not only heard the word, But you've received it into yourself and you own it and say, I want to, not my will, but thine be done. And the same thing with the mind. The same thing with the mind. You actually have to say to your mind, mind, you know nothing. You don't know anything. And so don't do what you want to do. Seek me. Seek me. And I will tell you what to do. And so it operates that way, that where it says, take every thought captive to the word of God. Take every thought. Every thought, it's like every. It's like every. And so taking every thought captive is not the way you behave. I'm not talking about your behavior. I don't care if you disobey or obey. I'm just telling you who you are when you become a believer. You immediately enter into a relationship totally based on God's will, not your own, not your own. And you have to then submit to that. And the other way is not only your emotions, but most of you want ice cream rather than punishment. Am I correct? So most of you want things to go your way, things work out, things to be pleasant, nice, and so on. That is the American dream. Never has worked out. It's never worked out, ever, at any time. Because just as the Tower of Babel was never finished, so anything that man undertakes always is a failure. Complete, total, absolute. And before you plug that Tower of Babel into this world, you'll have to meet with the living God. That's it. And so all of us, everybody here, and I don't know all of you, but most of you, everybody here is a Christian. We're in love with Jesus. We're born again of the Spirit. We're filled with the Spirit every day. We're led of the Spirit. We're born again, filled with, led by. All of those things are part of our justification, sanctification, glorification, outer court, holy place, holy of holy. I could go on and on. So all of that is our growth in this world. In other words, we don't just start out being born again. We also then want to submit everything to God as his disciple. I was a believer. Now I'm a disciple. Then I'm a lover. The lover is the ultimate purpose for God. That lovers are someone that doesn't care about themselves. They only care for others. How many of you here have achieved that? Lorise. How many here have achieved that? You know, that you're actually in love with God, and you're so much that you love him that, you know, you're willing to sacrifice everything and then completely follow him. And so since nobody is there, you're still wrestling with your old flesh, and you won't succeed in that if you think that your natural capacity is actually what he existentially created you to be. Existentially means your existence. You exist. You didn't create yourself. How many here didn't create themselves? So you didn't create yourself, and you cannot then make yourself do something that you don't want to do. And so that God wants you to actually to actually not be you, so that you are able to love your neighbor, any neighbor, love your neighbor as yourself. So that's easy to do in theory, but in practice it's difficult. And the word in Latin is simul justus et peccator. You are at the same time sinner and saint. So that actually describes us. Did you know that everybody that you're seated here with is a contradiction? Everybody. Everybody here is a contradiction because we believe that natural man can actually please God. I don't believe that. I don't believe that natural man can please God. I believe only God can please God. So since only God can please God, it's irrational for you to think that somebody else could please God if they're really nice, or if they're really kind, or if they're really trying really well. How many have discovered that in your own self without looking at anyone else? You've discovered in yourself there is a stubbornness and a stiff-neckedness. And you have that in you that you don't want to do the will of God, but God never wanted you to do the will of God. Never, 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 never. Not even the Old Testament. He did not want anybody in the Old Testament to keep his law. He wanted everyone to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, period. There's only two ways you can please God. You can either obey his law and do it wonderfully, you know, just gloriously, wonderfully, you can obey his law, or you can lie about it. That's the only way you can keep his law. In other words, there is no way under the law that anything will be perfected. There is no way. So God has always, from the beginning of the world, planned the world in such a way that you would be connected with Jesus Christ through the Son, through the Father, through the Holy Spirit. You would be connected to those three, that you would be in unity with them, so that what came forth from you did not come forth from you as a obedient one. That would come forth from you because God did it. God inside of you. God, if God be for us, then who can be against us? So if you're the branch, you're not the vine. You're not the vine. You're not the vine. And the fruit that you produce is not of you. So the fruit of the vine through the branch is God's fruit, because you're the branch. And because you're the branch, you can produce anything in this world right now, today. You can actually please God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. Can anyone say amen? Amen. Now, what God is wanting to show you in this scripture that I'm going to read is that everything you think about the future is wrong. Everything you've thought about from this moment on, because the first coming, when he came the first time, then he died. He was born, he was ministered and did all these things, and then he finally died. And then once he died, then he rose again from the dead, and then he ascended into heaven, and then he was seated at the right hand of God, and now he reigns forevermore. He reigns forevermore. Cannot stop him from doing that. But he's going to come back another time when everyone thinks the dollar bill will finally be completed. That dollar bill in there, you can look at it. That dollar bill will never be completed ever, 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 ever. It's impossible. Now, if you are a believer and you believe what I just said, that God's word only wants you to do perfect works in this world now, as long as you don't pay attention to how you behave. I'm going to say that again because I didn't sense you understood that. If you pay attention to what I said was everybody is a saint and a sinner at the same time. In other words, you will not leave this earth right now as a saint. You will leave it as someone who has actually accomplished what Jesus said, but it's so connected with Jesus actually being your life, not you being your life. You are not your life. You are not your life. This is Jesus Christ himself creating out of nothing, creating a new being and annihilating the other being so that that being no longer is you. So that you're actually a Christian, even though you know, wow, I just a minute ago I did this, and just a minute ago I did this. That's irrelevant, totally irrelevant. Neither your keeping the law brings you to heaven, nor your failing to keep the law brings you to hell. Not. Keeping the law is nothing to God. Keeping the law is nothing to God. You're either then believing in the Lord Jesus Christ through the gospel, through the good news, which is free. It doesn't cost anything. It's just free to you, no matter how you behave. I don't care how you behave. I'm not even interested in how you behave. Are you aware that what you do as you is not you? But only what you do as God living in you. That's you. So this gospel is free. It's free by God. And it just comes by hearing. It just comes by hearing. And as you read that word, you realize that God has always wanted you to be his vessel, his instrument, his legs, his arms, his everything. He wanted you to manifest his glory down on earth so that he might be seen. And when men see your good works, they give glory to your Father in heaven. Not when they see your good works, but when they see his good works working in you. Because he's in you to will and to do, will and do, will and do of his good pleasure. Now, is everybody almost with me so far? Almost. Because this is powerful. This is glorious. Second chapter. And brothers, we beg you by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and of our gathering together to him. Our gathering together to him. Do you know what that's saying? That's saying when Jesus Christ comes back again, you will meet him in the air. You're going to meet him in the air. You're not going to be here. When the enemy is dealt with by Jesus Christ, you're going to be up in the air somewhere. Forget now where. For you not being quickly shaken in the mind, it's one thing, nor be troubled, neither through a spirit, nor through speech, nor through letter, as though from us, as though it came from us. As if that day of Christ has come. That day of Christ has not come. Do not let anyone deceive you in any way, because that day will not come unless, this is the tricky part, unless, ethne in the Greek. So ethne means that when that comes, this thing that hasn't been described, which is holding everything back from Satan actually plugging this thing into the outlet. You know, if it could find an outlet over here and it just plug it in. But something is preventing Satan from doing that right now. Right now. Doesn't matter tomorrow, the next day, but right now. This 6,000 years, I mean 2,000 years, this time of 6,000 from the beginning, it's 2,000 now. This time There's only 7 days. I don't know if you understand that. There's only 7 days in creation, period, over, out. Only 7. And they're regular days. And those days have not yet been fulfilled, but something is holding that back from... Give me another foot. Okay, another one. Another one. Thanks. Boom. It won't happen because something is holding that back, and that thing is the natural law. The natural law, once it goes, as it is going in here, America. The original picture of America when it's founded by our founders, without exception, they all always built on the idea that the natural law is the way to go. That let's build this on sticking as close as can be on the natural covenant. So the natural law is immutable. The natural law never changes. The natural law is something that's universal with all people at all times and in all places, and it never changes. And so something you believe is correct is equally correct anywhere in the world. Everybody has this same message written on your very soul. It's right on your heart. So that soul is to obey the Lord. To obey the Lord. That is God's word, and you have it in you. You have that in you. Everything in you wants to do that word, even though everything in you is contradictory to that. Everything in you wants to do exactly as God said. You can listen to this 1,000 times, but until you get a hold of it, that these are powerful concepts in the Word of God. They're all in the Word of God. Everything is not new. It's something in the Word of God. And so when you then obey the Lord and this something is holding it back, the Tower of Babel hasn't been finished. It's not being finished. It's not going to be finished. But every once in a while, it looks like it's almost finished, but it can't be. Because something is that natural law, which is universal, which is everywhere and every. And I can tell you just through study that this natural law was true in Greece. It was true in Rome. It was true in every ancient world. It's called just, you know, the common law. It's the common law. And it's something that, well, that's wrong. You know, if you bite my arm, I know that what you did is wrong. I don't know why. I just know that's wrong. Whereas if I bite yours, I have a reason. I have a reason. I mean, I bit it because you deserved it. But when you do it, I know it's wrong. I know what you just did is wrong. That hurts. So when you do something that God doesn't want you to do, His law is against it. His law is against it. Now, according to nature, according to the natural law, according to natural law, you can't make it so. It's going to be a conflict inside of you that you just can't get along with people. I don't know if you know that. You can't get along with people. Did you know that? Kind of simple. That's kind of simple. I love that. That people can't live with one another. They can't live with one another. This is so basic. It's so basic that nobody can live with one another. Nobody, nobody, nobody. Even though you're married. It doesn't help. It doesn't. And it's, you know, they're just, you know, just it's frustrating to see this thing. So the natural law is existential. Existential means you exist, but nobody made you exist. Somebody made you, and that person wrote on your heart his entire law, and it's there. That law that God wrote on your heart is everything that's right, and there's nothing wrong. Everything is right and nothing wrong. So you chose essentially, existentially, essentially. You chose essentially to violate that law. You just chose that. Because I don't like God's law, you know, saying you can do this and then having a contradiction inside of you that says, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. Has anybody encountered that? I mean, particularly living with other people. Have you ever encountered that? I mean, someone that you love and nice person. But that person will you know, just fly against you. And you have to, you know, you have to forgive them. So that's that thing. No. So everybody, you know this for sure. Yet everybody in the Old Testament knows everybody that lives by the law will not perish. You just perish. That's it. You're perished. If you try to obey God and do as his law says, you will perish. But only those that are acquainted with God's right hand. This is always his right hand. This is always his left hand. This is always his left hand. This is always his right hand. Never confuses the two. This one says that I forgive you if you believe on me. That's so cheap. That's so cheap. That is so cheap. That doesn't make any sense. Nobody believes that. That's ridiculous. But everybody actually lives that way. And that's why the rebels today, the rebels throughout the United States, they're everywhere. They're everywhere. They block everything. They just block everything. Isn't that fun? It's fun. Because did you know we don't have anything to worry about? Did you know everything's going our way? Woohoo! Zippity-doo-da! Zippity-a! Everything is going our way. So that being the case, because we're Christians, right hand. The only way you can go to heaven is this way, this way, this way, this way. You cannot go this way. This way is doomed, doomed, doomed. And so, again, I want to repeat again, because if there's somebody here with a tender conscience, if you are sinning today, maybe you've already done it two times before you arrive today, I want you to know it doesn't make any difference. It doesn't matter what you did. It's what God does. God is the initiator. God is the only one that can act in the universe. Nobody else can act. Nobody else. I don't care how it appears. Nobody else can act. Only God can act. And God is in charge of everything. So God has all of you in his hands, because it's written on your heart. It's written on your heart. Do right. Don't do wrong. Anyone that's a Christian never is allowed to do wrong, even though you do it. Even though you do it, just discount it. Discount it. Because that's not your standing. Your standing is here. Your standing's not here. So even though, and that's because a lot of you were raised in lukewarm churches. And that lukewarm church, this is the way Jesus characterizes the church in the last days. Last days. The last days, they began exactly as Martin Luther in 1517, exactly this year. This year is interesting because nobody, there wasn't any Calvin, there wasn't any, you know, Wesley, there wasn't anybody but Martin Luther. And I won't tell you his story, but the story is fascinating that he was able to absolutely convert Christendom forever and end it. And so that's what built America. That's what built Texas. That's what built us today, where we are, is something that Jesus shared has worked its way all the way down until that period of time. That was called Philadelphia. The Philadelphia church, the sixth church, was just before ours. And now we're in lukewarm church. The whole church today is lukewarm. I don't mean literally the whole church. I mean just figuratively the whole church is all completely away from God's will. It's not even preaching. It's not even teaching the will of God. But we have veered far away from our founders. And our founders were part of Luther's Reformation. Our founders fit into that no sin because they were completely, all of them, even, what's the fellow's name, that the old fellow? Benjamin Franklin. He even admitted, he had a revelation one day, and while they're carrying on, and he said, you know what? I've always looked at that thing on the back of the chair right there, and I've always wondered whether that was a setting sun or a rising sun. Now I know. this was powerful. This is a guy that isn't part of any church, didn't belong to any church, but he just realized that that's a rising sun, and he prophesied about our day. He prophesied and said, if the towers of Babel, the same one they're speaking about, if they couldn't produce a perfect society, neither will we. And they were just pagans. But if they couldn't, we're not going to do it. We need to have prayer. In this, every time we meet together, let's have prayer. And it failed. It failed. That's a nice try. But he actually understood the gospel for the first time. And that's a life-changing experience for him. And when that happened, he liked this one guy, George Whitefield. Did you ever hear of George Whitefield? He was a funny guy. He came over from England and was here, 22 months or some period of time. And he was able to preach in such a way that he united America together so that we are not only one, but Presbyterians were no longer Presbyterian and Lutherans were no longer Lutherans and so on. Everybody kind of broke down and they realized we're Christians. And that made America ripe for that gospel and it's the first nation in the world. First nation in the world that ever believed that you could actually create a nation that would please God, even though that would have nothing to do with your eternal life, nothing to do with. But still, the idea that a nation could actually form itself based on natural law, form itself so that it could then produce Christians that would not be persecuted right in their own hometown. Everything else in the world, all over Europe, all over everywhere, there were persecutions and they're still going on and they're not going to end because we've forgotten our own foundation, not the political one, not the religious one, but the true religion, this one. This is the one. You get true religion wrong, you get everything wrong, but if you get it right, everything is right. So God has fished everything on this little hook right here. Everything is hooked right here. So this idea that God wanted us to found it on this point. Do not let anyone deceive you in any way, because that day will not come unless first comes the falling away. It hadn't come. And that man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, that one opposing and exalting himself over everything, being called God or object of worship. So also for him to sit in the temple of God as God. That's amazing. That's amazing. That statement right there is indicating to us that Jesus Christ is not only going to reestablish everything he established in the first place, but you can't change him. You can't change it. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and it'll always be that way. And you're going to be part of it. I hope I don't lose one. I don't know. Maybe there's one here. But it doesn't matter. You know why? Because we're all part of it. We're all part of what Jesus is doing. And so I don't have any worries. I never have worried. I'm not worried. I'm not anxious. I'm not nervous. I believe that Jesus Christ is my personal Lord and Savior, period. I don't know if you believe that. I believe that. I believe that that's the case, and that cannot be changed. And so Jesus Christ has rigged this whole thing so that this one that wants to be God, it never happened. Never happened. Never happened. Never happened. So we can relax, because, you know, the whole reason we can relax is because it takes time for people to adjust to this message. And since it hasn't been recently preached, I can just tell you that all the things that people say right now as how the end times are going to come and so on, you're all mixed up with thinking it's here in the millennium. It's actually not here. It's actually over here. You got to get it right. You got to get it exactly right. Otherwise, you're going to get wrong. And so Jesus has rigged it so that you'll not even be here. You're even going to hear. You're going to be in heaven. That's neat. Isn't that neat? I like that. I like that. I like it that we're not even here. So a lot of people, you know, you're worried about the two witnesses. You know, that was the last thing that they tried to do, is kill off those two. And last 3 days they watched over their bodies and, you know, they're not going to rise again. So let's do something to bury them or do something. And then Jesus shows up and messes the whole thing up. Did you know that Jesus always has the right to intervene any time he wants to? He can interpose himself. He can interject himself. He can just kind of fit in the middle and say, here I am. I'm Jesus. I like Jesus. I love Jesus because he's so friendly. He's so much for you. So much for you. There's nobody against you. You don't have anyone against you. There's no one against you. There's no one against you. So, since God be for you, who can be against you? Since God be for you, who can be against you? So, the best has been saved till the last. Now, I'm going to finish this up with walking forward like that. Do you not remember that I told you these things? It's like, I guess so. I yet being with you, and now you know the thing holding back? I just told you what it is. Did you know what this existence, natural law, this is only over until after the millennium. After that, there's no more law. Natural law doesn't exist. Natural law is over. It's natural. And it's only here during our natural state. But as soon as the Lord's return, as soon as his return, 1,000 years later, before certain things take place, which is that the enemy surrounds our camp up in heaven and tries to do us in, and that doesn't work. And then there's the great white throne judgment wherein everybody is there with their whole thing. Except us. Except us. You're not there. Hallelujah. Why? Why are we not there? Because we're over here. Amen. Why are we not there? Why aren't we there? You know, since it's for everybody. Ah, but you're not everybody. You are a new creation. A new creation means you're not part of the old creation. Now you're already brand new. Did you know that? Did you know you're a new creation? You can't be part of something this world is interested in. You're already a new creation. You're already bearing witness for God. Don't look at your life. Don't look at your anything. Just look at Jesus. This whole thing starts with Jesus. The whole thing starts with Jesus. It's his initiation that creates you. And that's why you're comfortable. That's why you're completely at ease. Because there's nothing here to approve. You've already been pre-approved. Pre-approved. Woo-hoo! Are you all pre-approved? Yeah, you are. Because you just are. I don't know why. I don't know why he chose us. Why did he choose us? Hey, hallelujah. But did you know that you can infect all during that 1,000 years, the people on earth and then even under them? You can affect those people. It's not over with yet. And so you might find you're a big group. Maybe you're a little group, but maybe you suddenly grow big. So Jesus has always done this so that we can see how he's finishing up everything. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the King of Kings. And now you know the thing withholding back for him to be revealed in his time, which is this, for the mystery of iniquity. Mystery of iniquity. There's about 12 things that fit in with this. Already is working. When did it work? Well, it worked during the days of Jesus. It's always worked. Only he holding back now until it comes out in the midst. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume by the Spirit of his mouth. In other words, you just consume him. Did you know that? Did you know that when Jesus actually judges the beast and the false prophet, he actually judges those two guys. They both go right into the, just go right down into the fire. They don't even wait around. They're not even judged. They don't even have a judgment because they just simply go through this tunnel and right down, and the lady at the bottom opens it up, and the lady at the top opens it up. Boom. They just go down. That's nothing. Nothing. Whoa, I didn't even due process. You know, something. You know, give them a chance. Give them a chance. No. They've already decided. Did you know that already God knows what you've decided? Did you know that? Did you know that? God has already decided. He already decided. It's just Jesus going to come back and initiate that. Anyway, so those things happen, and then the devil is thrown into the pit, but the bottom pit is open, and then the top pit lets him in and then clamps that. And then 1,000 years later, then he does his thing. Okay, and then his coming is according to the working of Satan in all power and miracles and lying wonders and in all deceit of unrighteousness in those being lost because they did not receive the love of the truth in order for them to be saved because they still believe a lie. And because of this, God will send to them a working of error for them to believe that lie, that all may be judged, those not believing the truth, but who have delighted in unrighteousness. So, those already, don't worry, God is not unjust. He's completely just. And when he sees all this, he knows exactly what to do. Because he's not like us. If he entrusted that to us, we'd probably mess up. But he didn't trust that to you because you don't even know the heart. You don't know the heart. You don't know the heart. But he knows it. And so he knows what every man's heart will be. Even before there was a world, he already knew. He already knew it. He already knew everything. He knows everything. And he knows who you are. And he has chosen you out of the world to be from now on. Just say from now on.
From now on.
From now on. I'm going to not disobey. I'm going to obey the truth by going against myself, by not listening to my reasons and my emotions. And, well, you did that last week. Don't listen to anything. Don't pay attention. Don't pay attention. Just do what God said. Why? Because it works. Because it works. It's not how you go to heaven. This is not how you go to heaven. This is because you're in heaven that takes place. And so this doesn't make you go to heaven. Keeping the law does not make you go to heaven. You can keep the law all the way from here on, and you're not in. You're in because God said, that's one of mine. That's one of mine. That's one of mine. You're in. Don't even think about it. Don't even categorize that or imagine anything. God is for you. Jackie, it's for you. Amazing. And that's amazing that he just pick you out. I like Jackie. I don't know how he likes people. Do you know that he likes everybody? I don't know if you know this. He likes everybody. He likes everybody. Whosoever will may come. But people don't. They're so stubborn. I can't believe it. That people are so stubborn, they don't want to just take it. It's free. It's free. It doesn't even cost anything. I want that. I like it. Don't you like it? It's free. So, all of these things, and there are 100 more, 100 easily, to prove to you that this time thing and this all this stuff, like, what is the white throne judgment? What takes place there? What is this? What is this? What is this? When was that? When did that take place? When should it be? His first coming, his second coming, two main events. Two main events. Those are the big things. Everything after that is sewn up. Everything after that, the first fruits. You are the first fruits of Jesus, who is the first fruits, and that you believed on him now. Now, anybody can do it. Anybody can have this. You just go to him. Just go to him and tell him the truth. Don't be lukewarm. Know that God wrote his... Everybody is guilty in the world. Everybody is guilty. You know what life is? Life is nothing more than guilt reduction, guilt reduction, guilt reduction, guilt reduction, guilt reduction. You know what our life is? Everything is wonderful because of this. Because of this, I don't have to reduce guilt. That's already been taken care of. That cross right there, that took care of that. Jesus is my righteousness. He's not just related to it. He is. Yeah, that's his. And I believe that. I believe that. I believe that Jesus is my righteousness. Well, did anybody enjoy that?
Amen.
I thought it was awesome. I thought it was awesome. I love that. I loved it, right? Because people are nervous. Don't be nervous. You remember all those six things he said? Don't be nervous. Don't be anxious. Don't be disturbed. I don't care what letter is, anything that goes out. Don't. be nervous. You're in. You're in. Now that's not some, maybe somebody here is not a believer. Well, it doesn't apply to you. It only applies to believers. It only applies to those that say, I want to go all the way. I don't even know how, but I want to. I want to. It's good enough. It's good. God, I'm in your program. I'm in your program. I'm in the program. Do you all understand? It's too sweet. Too sweet. Jesus is good. All right. Praise the Lord. Sorry. I love you all.